You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 39. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
Well, we're going to talk about the regional we just had and other stuff going on the website right now.
And the masters of disguise there, not to be outdone. The phaser they have appointed at you isn't set on stun. Section 31.
So this weekend we had the 2009 Risa Regional Championship Ultra Magnus tournament off. Second edition. I don't remember what they change it every now and then, so I can't keep up. But we just call it the regional, and we had a good showing. Some folks who don't usually come out. We had James there. He's been a little busy, and naturally both the Thomases. Unfortunately, Dan couldn't play due to the new rules.
Yeah, it was a level 2 event, so I got to. Actually, I played a couple of games. For the first 2 rounds, we had 7 players, so I got to play the person with the bye. And I believe I played both Thomases in the first and the second round, TK and TV. And then our 8th player showed up. So Matt's strategy for this regional was to show up 2 rounds in and then storm to victory.
Sandbag!
Didn't work out as well as he'd hoped. But I know we had a great time. We had 5 rounds, and... you did pretty well. I think you came in 2nd place, right?
I did surprisingly well. I came in just wanting to have a good time and play a deck that I knew I would enjoy. So I'm sure you can probably guess the affiliation that I defaulted to.
Yeah, so let me just say, the actual size of your deck was more than 100?
132?
That is
34?
Ridiculous.
Yes. Okay.
So you were playing Klingon.
Yes.
And I think I overheard someone had said, that's ridiculous that deck wins. And you said something to the effect of, it's got like 7 tricks in it. So as long as one of them shows up, you're groovy.
And that seemed to be the way it went. Most of the time, I would have one trick or another to get me by. And it seemed like it certainly made for an interesting game. Or an interesting day in which I was going to be playing the deck over and over and over again because it was a different game every time. I saw different cards every time.
Was there one theme that came? I mean, did you get the high cancel thing working in every game?
Yeah, the high cancel was the heart. There were a couple of things. I started off, the idea when I started was not to make a 130 card deck. It was going to be a slightly bulky, 80 or 90 deck. TV played what I thought was a really cool deck a couple of weeks ago, in which it was lots of 4 cost, high council members, chancellors. There's a lot of them out there now. Guidance of the Council, Katal, and he kept downloading additional Guidance of the Councils so that he could get more than one council member every time he played a diplomacy guy. I was like, well, how many of those do you need? After a while, you're just downloading extras. Well, he was using those extras with the 2 sabotage transporters that he played with Chemtar for free and killing all your personnel with them when you got stopped at dilemmas. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll try something like that. And then I was remembering last regional, Johnny's big recommendation was... event destruction. He did really well, and he did really well again. His deck this year was sort of a 2.0 version of that deck last year, from what I could tell, which was Quintessence and the usual Borg shenanigans at what cost. You've always been my favorite, etc. But the key being, what's his name? 2 of 9? Is that the event destruction guy?
I believe so, yeah.
I can never keep the Borg straight. And so if you have any kind of event help or especially an event-based strategy, you're kind of hosed because every turn it's like, okay, I throw him on the bottom and I blow up your event and then I quintessence for him and then I play him, and then I blow him up, put him on the bottom and blow up your event. And I mean, he's paying two to blow up an event every time, but you know, in that setting, it was totally worthwhile. And so thinking of that, I was trying to think event destruction as well. I thought about playing other decks because of that. But instead I went with, I ended up throwing in like an extra 8 or 9 equipment at the last minute just to go with Korath.
Did you also have grab plate traps in there?
I did. So I would play the event, blow something up, grab plate trap, blow up the equipment. What did I say? Event? Sorry. Play the equipment to blow something up, grab plate trap the equipment to blow something up again. And then most of the equipment I played, the base equipment I started with was ETU and Vascular Plaid. So they were being recycled anyway. So I would play them, take them back to hand, or throw them back under the deck and play them again. Event destruction, council shenanigans, and lots of unstopping. I had TNG Future Worf, who's also Klingon Worf TNG, who you know can stop any unstop any honor personnel, discard an event to do that. Relentless, Gowron. I switched Gowrons at the last moment, but lots of unstopping and yeah, shenanigans all around.
Did you use the 40-point missions as well?
I did. It was a great deal of effort trying to find 4 40-point or more diplomacy missions. I ended up using a Delta mission just to get that, but I managed to end up with, I think, 170 points of missions so that I could use that dilemma, mm-hmm. Which came in handy several times. So I could choose somebody to be stopped and then sabotage transporters so they're dead, which was a nice little combo. Those dilemmas were a big help for the day, and I threw in some damage dilemmas to help up with in case I needed to go to... I threw in some minor engagement stuff just to turn the corner in points or to get the corner started in points if I needed to. And as much as I hate Krug, people are scared to death of him. So I threw him in there too, just so people would see him and you know, it would think twice about whether or not they're going to go do that mission with that many people or whatever. And I actually took a couple of ships.
Is that how that Borg sphere appeared on your side of the table?
That is how that Borg sphere appeared on my side of the table, and that helped me a lot. I did. I also had the engage cloak with the silent strike and once more under the breach dilemma. So I had a ship. I tried to have a ship on engage cloak when it was feasible. The other thing that was a big help to that deck that I didn't have before when I played it is the new Kimpek from Raise the Stakes. He's a new Chancellor, one of the four. And there was already a version of him, but the new one not only has diplomacy, which the only one old one doesn't have, so he also triggers Gudin's Council, but his special ability rocks. In that deck, particularly since it already takes a little while to set up, and the thing you're doing is downloading High Council members and Chancellors and playing them to download more things and playing them to download more things and playing them to download more things. Since you're taking a while to set that up, getting him out early, his text is at the beginning of your turn, you can stop 6 leadership personnel to spend an additional 5 counters. So since you've already got a pile of guys there doing nothing while you set things up, stopping the people who are there to spend an extra 5 counters is huge. So between that and Energize, which I haven't played this deck since that came out, downloading Kimpek and Energize as my first or one of the early pairs of council and event downloads means I can get more guys out and play them quicker, spend more counters, and really get that deck going.
If you were going to try to rebuild this deck, would you leave it as big as it was? I mean, I know you had a timed loss and a timed win.
I did, and
that,
both
that kept
those
you out of the winner circle, really.
Yeah, both those games were really, really good, and I, for better or for worse, I would have loved to finish both of those games against naturally the two heavyweight players in our area, Johnny and TV. But yeah, I think the size did not really have that much of a negative impact. There were some cards that I just never got around to using or might not have been as useful that I would probably swap out. And I might also try to, I know I have seen Matt use this trick before, is I might take out, you know, a six cards or so and try to swap in a trio of inner lights and a trio of mirror quarks. Because late game, when I really needed one event in particular or something, and I would look around and I had played all my High Council members and all my chancellors, and I didn't have any way to download it easily anymore. And that was one point at which the ETUs actually hurt me. And later in the tournament, I actually let somebody die intentionally when I could have saved them, because I knew I wasn't going to solve the mission and I wanted to be able to play them again. Copy from my hand again so that I could download a particular event. So that was one thing that was a little off. If I had that quark, you can throw somebody back under your deck to spend counters, and then I could, you know, you can play them again. That might be a trick I might try. These are the Voyages is a card that I just sort of default put into every deck, and it did not really, there was because I'm generally downloading things all the time and then playing those things, it was never that much of a help unless it was really early in the game, trying to pull out either Kemtar or the Guidance. So all in all, I really enjoyed it. I'd have to take another look at my deck list and see if there's anything else, but I might even trim down some of the non-aligned personnel I threw in for skill balance, because I rarely got around to playing them.
Skill balance out of 100 and how many cards?
Yeah, I know.
Did you typically solve two missions and then round the corner, or did you have to do three ever?
No, I never had to do three. It was always two missions. The big thing that helped me with that was Call to Arms. That was typically one of the events I downloaded probably mid-game if I knew I was going to be coming up on doing some engagements, because then you only have to do one, really. If you get a buy out with a Call to Arms, that's 20 points in one engagement, and I don't have to worry about it ever again.
Well, Johnny Haliva went on to win the tournament at the Field of Eight over five rounds to become the 2009 regional champion for Ryza. So congratulations to him. To Rogue, you came in second. And rounding out the top three was, I believe, TK, the other Thomas Kimura, came in third place. So congratulations to everyone, especially thanks to Steve for coming down. He traveled the farthest for the event. We have a great time, and we're looking forward to the next one. A new article went up on the main site from Jeremy, the 1E director, about the complete listing of revised format for first edition. We're very excited down here in Southern California, because our 1E regional is actually coming up not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, and we're going to be running with these rules. So we're going to try firsthand to see how it goes. I encourage everyone to make a few decks and check it out. I'm looking forward to playing 1E again, you know, for the first time in quite a while. We have a few events per year down here. And if this works out, we've already gotten one new player. I could see it going up to maybe not once a month, but at least more than once a quarter.
I would definitely, it would be nice if this ended up working out. I have a few reservations, but not many, not as many as you know, unaltered 1E.
Even the standard format with the X list. A little too sweeping for my taste, but
yes.
A lot of the rules that all the different homebrew formats, you know, kind of came up with, made it into here in little pieces and nuggets. So I would encourage any 1E players to give it a try. And there is a series of podcasts that Jeremy put together. I know he can't type right now, or he's recovering his ability to type. So we did a lot of spoken word podcasts for pretty much a complete description about why every rule is in place, all the avenues they tried, different stories about different players. it was a very well done podcast, just an excellent explanation of everything. I'd encourage anyone who has any questions about the format or whys or any of those things to go listen to those. Very well done. And we're hoping to have Jeremy as a guest in the future so he can talk about it a little bit more.
Thank you very much, Jeremy, for all of your work on that. We issue a quick recovery and look forward to testing out the revised format next week.
One more 1E bit. A couple of weeks ago, I made a went off the deep end a little bit talking about the quality of some of the 1E cards. Seth sent me an email and he said that particularly the Tribunal of Q card, the one that was sent out and distributed from the Continuing Committee website, is not the high quality, the high res sheet that he was expecting to be put out. So if you cannot get your hands on the high res version of that 9-up sheet, there is a high res PDF available from the Section 31 site. It's a download. It looks much better. It's fantastic looking. You can read the sides. Yeah, I printed a set out and I have them to give out at the regional. It looked great. I'm very happy to see the quality going back up to the standards we expect.
And thank you very much, Seth, for delivering that intelligence to where it belongs, right here on Section 31.
Well, that's all the intelligence we have this week. We thank Warp 11 for their awesome new CD. We've got some clips of it in the last episode. We've been listening to it. We think it's fantastic. It's become the soundtrack for many of my deck construction endeavors. So on behalf of our producer, Matt, who I'd also like to thank, I am Sir Dan.
And I am Sir Rogue.
So this time I'm going to say, expand your power of the universe.
All right, and I will attempt this mission with Data Lore B4 and a Sung type android and reveal 3 androids from hand, showing that I have strength of 39 to end.